Well, this morning, I want to invite you, if you have your Bibles, you may want to go ahead and turn to John chapter 11, or else you can follow along on your electronic device, or it will also be on the screen. You know, as we come today, we realize that Easter truly is the greatest day in all history. I mean, it is such a pivotal point that we continue to look back towards, and we're trusting in what it means for us living into the future. And I want to just back up for a moment, a story that we haven't read, but took place early on that first Easter morning, according to the Gospel of John. We know that according to John, and we read this at the sunrise service this morning, that Mary Magdalene gets up early before the sun rises, and most of us know that she went to the tomb to finish embalming processes. And as she got to the tomb, the stone was rolled away. And as she looks into the tomb, Jesus' body is gone. And she's somewhat distraught, like, what happened? And she ran to tell the disciples. And Peter and John, who are followers of Jesus, quickly run to the tomb, and they look, and they see that, in fact, it is empty. And what we know, of course, is the rest of the story, that on this day is the day that Jesus walked out of the tomb, and he conquered eternally the power of sin and the power of death in our world. And the way we know that it's not just a superstition, is because Mary testified to it and later meets Jesus face to face. The disciples encounter Jesus face to face afterwards. And we also find that over 500 others encounter Jesus alive. And as the years go on, we find the disciples go forth into the world and they tell the good news of Jesus, and they're willing to sacrifice their lives, even at the state of torture, to tell this story. So we know it's more than just a fable, it's reality that was lived out in the course of lives. And so it's an incredible day, a day we celebrate that God has done something and has come to bring incredible life. But this morning I want to back up a couple of months prior to our Sunday morning event. And it's at another tomb that we're visiting. And at this particular tomb was a man named Lazarus. Now the story was that Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary, were really, really good friends of Jesus. We don't know if they were family relation or just really close family friends, because this was the place that Jesus would go and hang out when he came to Bethany. He would stay at their house, they would have long conversations, and they were really, really close friends. Well, Jesus is ministering in another region of the area, and we find that Lazarus gets sick. In fact, it's more than the common cold or the flu or even COVID-19. He's got something that they know immediately is different, and it is life-threatening. In fact, so much so that they send the servants out to go find Jesus. And maybe you've had such an experience in your life with somebody you have loved and cared about deeply, all of a sudden that they have that moment that you are in panic mode. I remember back it's been a number of years now, that one of my grandfathers, we were eating at a meal, and all of a sudden my grandfather just went limp. And I remember as we picked him up and laid him on the ground, and my parents are saying, start CPR, and we're calling 911. We need you near now. That kind of moment when we were experiencing it. And that's what was going on for Mary and Martha. They saw this in Lazarus, and they quickly sent servants out to find Jesus. And what's interesting, we expect Jesus to say, sure, I'll be right there, or he'll pray from a distance, okay, Lazarus, get well. But what we find is Jesus lags. He doesn't immediately go. He waits. In fact, he waits long enough that it's actually 4 days after Lazarus has been in the tomb that Jesus finally shows up on the scene. Now, can you imagine what was going through Mary and Martha's minds as Jesus finally came? I mean, they're grief-stricken, but also they're like, really, Jesus? You're our friend? You're actually like our family pastor? And really, you took this long to get here? Now, you let him die. And there's disappointment. There's hurt in that particular moment. And even others in the scene notice it. They go, man, Jesus loved Lazarus, but why didn't he heal him? Why didn't he raise him up? And Jesus doesn't answer the question, but he does have a conversation with Martha. And here's what Jesus says to her. He said, Jesus said to Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Now, when we read this, we might think that Martha has it all figured out. But actually, first century belief Martha embraced, and it was kind of this, that when a person died and they were put in a tomb, it was felt that the spirit of that individual would hang out for about 3 days. It would just kind of touch base to make sure that the body wasn't really alive. But on the fourth day, the spirit would depart into somewhere, we don't know where. And it was believed that the spirit would remain departed from the body until the end of time, when there would be a Messiah, a kind of a national leader that would rise up. And when that happened, all those good standing folk would rise up to life and their spirit would be rejoined with them. And so that was very common in the belief perspective of the time. But what Jesus says to Martha, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, we may pass over those words pretty quickly because we've heard them enough. But as we've been walking over the last couple of weeks here at Aldersgate, we've been talking about the I am statements of Jesus as recorded in the Gospel of John. John was a disciple of Jesus. He wrote the fourth gospel. But we've learned, and just to catch everyone up to speed, whenever I am was used in the Gospel of John, it was code for I am the God who loved you and humanity so much that I came to set them free and you free from bondage, to give you life and to lead you through life, not only here but throughout eternity. I am not just a Savior Messiah. I am actually God who has come to meet you where you are. And Jesus says, I am that God who is the resurrection and the life. And so I want to just share how this event and what has happened through this last week as we've walked Lent, we're really given some clues from what experience Lazarus goes through at this moment, the power of what this day means to us. Because when we start at the story of Lazarus, what we find is that, first of all, he's sick and infected with something that is deadly. And if we think about it, and we're going to back up in our story a little bit, but today wouldn't make a lot of sense if we don't understand all of this. Because what we find is that Lazarus had something that was incurable. And you know what? Probably the world, there were people that promised remedies and cures, but they couldn't fix it. And what we find is that's our situation, isn't it? We've all been broken and affected by our world. It's part of a fallen world. It's just part of the experience that we have. And for some, it's been easier, and some of it's harder. But the reality is we all have been infected with this thing that promises to give us peace, promises to give us joy, promises to give us everlasting life. And yet, we find all the experiences, all the relationships, all the stuff can't really fill the inner void within us. That it can't fix the problems and the mess ups and the times of regret we feel and the stuff and the broken relationships. It just can't do it. It's not capable. We can't do it in ourselves. And even today, if we've met Christ that has seemed to fill this up, which we're going to talk about, there's still hints, even to those of us who may follow Jesus at times, of the temptation to have our faith eroded. Can we really trust God that God can really fill this up too? But we find that there's this sickness that's around us. And that we find that for Lazarus, this infection, this sin, whatever it, sickness, whatever it is, results ultimately in death. And that's kind of our experience too, because the Bible says the wage of sin is death, right? It separates us ultimately, not just our physical death, but it's kind of what separates us and isolates us from God. It works to keep us away from what really will bring lasting life. You know, even for those of us who maybe have walked with Jesus for a long time, maybe we've kind of over time maybe forgotten what it was like before we had met Jesus. We forget how life just didn't seem to have the glimmer or the hope or the peace or the joy. But we, if we go back far enough and remember what it was like, and now that we've met Christ, how it has become somewhat different. Now, that's the sad part of the story, right? The brokenness, the infection part. But what we love is that Jesus comes to the tomb of Lazarus, and it says he loved Lazarus. Even though he was sick, even though he was dead, he loved him. And that's the story of this day, is that Jesus loves us even in our sickness, our death, no matter what we've done. Because when we look at Jesus, when he stood outside of Lazarus' tomb, do you remember, if you know the story, what he does? It says he saw the tomb, he saw the grief-stricken people, and it says he wept. He wept over their pain. He wept over their brokenness. He wept over all that was transpiring in their lives. I want you to hear that today. We have a room full of people that have experienced a lot. And I'm going to guess there's a lot of us here who have experienced some real brokenness in life. And I want you to know, whether it was self-induced or it came upon you by accident or you didn't ask for it, I want you to hear that Jesus stood by and wept for that in your life. That God who loves you has wept with us in our brokenness and what has separated us from the love of God. And what we find is that then, what we find is this day, what happens is that Jesus comes and he says, I'm coming to take all the brokenness, all the sin, all the junk that has infected and destroyed our lives and broken our relationships. And he came on the cross and says, I'm coming to remedy, put that right, so that when he went to the tomb, he laid it in the tomb. And then we find that he comes out of the tomb and he says, I'm laying that down and I'm now coming to bring life. Jesus, we find in 2 Corinthians 5:21, said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. That when we trust with Jesus, he looks at our brokenness and our sin and our stuff that separated us from God, and he says, when we've trusted in Jesus, he says, that's been taken care of. You don't have to be guilty. You don't have to feel guilt. You don't have to feel remorse. You don't have to walk in guilt. That has been taken care of. Now, what I love about the story with Lazarus is, you know, he's at the tomb, but he doesn't leave him there. He says, roll back the stone. And people aren't excited because he's been dead for 4 days. And they said, this is a Mediterranean, right? And so it's just a little smelly. And he rolls it, they roll it back. And look what Jesus does. Jesus calls Lazarus out of death into life. He says, come forth, Lazarus. Now, I don't know what was going on in the tomb, and I don't know what was behind the scenes, but I got some kind of a hint that maybe Lazarus had some say in the deal. I mean, we've heard after-death events, and people say, you know, they saw a bright light, and they've heard this voice wanting to whether I stay, whether or not. I don't know, but I kind of wonder, did Lazarus kind of have a choice? But he heard the voice calling him, Lazarus, come out, come into life. Come away from what you've been bound by, what has infected you, what has destroyed you, what has killed you. Come to life. Come to me to find it. And that's what God invites us to. I mean, that's the story of today, is Jesus calling us, whatever our brokenness, whatever our stuff is, whatever we're carrying in here today, whatever is separating us from God, he says, I want to call you to lay that down, and I want you to come to me because I want to breathe life ultimately into you. Leave the things that are binding you, that separate us from God, that are trying to kill our relationship with God, and he's inviting us to lay it down by faith and hear that Jesus loves you and wants to call you out of it and embrace you. We find that the power of God, when it filled Lazarus, breathed into life, and when we invite Christ into our lives, God breathes life into us. And you know what? You know it when it comes. When that life comes, you just know something has changed. Something is different. He restores us to others. We feel restored to God. And he starts working in us to create us to be what God wants us to be. Our created, his dream over us. It doesn't mean it's perfect. But as we embrace Christ, he's bringing us to life. Now, I want you to hear the final part of the story. As Lazarus is in the tomb, now, bear with me a minute, because think about Lazarus. Lazarus has been wrapped up. In that day and age, kind of think of a mummy, right? You tie him up really tight, all the way up around their head. Have you ever thought about this? I mean, Lazarus is in the tomb. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And okay, I can see him sitting up. You know, we've seen the mummy, right? Then what are you going to do? I'm bound up. Jesus doesn't run in and carry him out, right? Here's Lazarus. I can just see it, right? He comes out. And Jesus tells the people around him, unbind him. Unwrap his head. Free him. What I love about the story is that we are called to Jesus for life, but then he invites the community to come around people and to help them experience the fullness, love of God, the freedom of God, that we're on a journey together. We're helping one another walk in fullness and walk in freedom. It's not just a solo act between me and God. This is a community affair that God is calling us into. It's a powerful moment, this resurrection that we're experiencing. Jesus identified with our sin and brokenness. He died in our place to put things right with God, and then he has loved us deeply and invites us out to follow him into life and to live it fully. Today, I'm guessing many of you have heard that voice. You have heard Jesus calling you to life, and that's a great thing. And maybe someone here today is like, I don't think I have ever heard it, but maybe you're sensing God calling you, and it's not like God is making something difficult. He just says, just say yes. Just come forth. Come to me. And maybe today, you're not sensing anything, and you feel like God just never has really spoken to me. I just invite you to say, God, I'm open. I'm open. God wants to meet us where we are in this day, that we might know that he is the great I am who has come to meet us. I want to close with a story. Several years back, I was working in a ministry called Operation Appreciation. It was in Louisville, Kentucky, and a lady and her husband had gained a vision of working with soldiers at Fort Knox military base there outside Louisville. And what they would do is they had a part of the program that would bring basic soldiers in, and they would have a fun night together and meal and do some of that. And then it was just a great respite time for them. But they also had a time when then they would invite people that were in AIT, Advanced Individual Training, they would invite them to come for a more extended retreat weekend at a house there in Louisville called Sycamore House. And it was basically a time they would come, they would get great food, they would get to play games and just rest in appreciation for their service in the military. And it was advertised, it was a Christian thing. And so I happened to be there on Easter Sunday. And we were getting ready to have kind of a home service kind of there in the living room of the Sycamore House with these soldiers. And I was sitting there next to a young man, and we were having a conversation. And I just said, tell me about your life. And he was telling me about it. And I said, share with me a little bit about, you know, your Christian experience, you know, about when you've met Jesus or what. And he basically said, you know, I don't know who Jesus is. Now, that may blow our brains as Americans, because we go, everybody knows who Jesus is. This guy seriously did not really know who he was. And so asked him, well, would you like me to share a little bit? And he was like, yeah. So we talked. And as we went through the story of that this Jesus had come, God had come to us because he loved us, we got to the point of the resurrection. And it just happened. I like these just happened moments, right? It was just happened on the coffee table. This picture was of the picture, if you're familiar with this, is of the garden tomb, where the empty tomb. And we talked about how Jesus had risen and the tomb was empty, and that God had come for us to give us life. And we were talking, and I said, what do you think about that? He says, well, I'd like to meet that Jesus. And that day, that young man just simply asked Christ to fill his heart. He experienced Lazarus' miracle. Jesus called him out, and he experienced life flowing in him. That's what resurrection is. God comes, meets, and wants to send us forth, knowing that we are serving a God who is alive, who comes to fill us and to fill us fully.